fact it is the case that Be'etzem, the only formal Isser is Rechitza Shel Tainug. Anything that isn't Rechitza Shel Tainug is really mutter. So then, why is it that we're so machmir? Say, Mamish Yid Makom Tsar and the like. Tsar Harbe. Why are we so machmir? So, in the car ride home, we suggested an answer. So for those of you who weren't in the car ride, I'll just repeat it, which is that perhaps you could say that part of the purpose of Nihugi Avelos is Taka to be B'makom Tzar. Right? If you remember, we saw the Ramban, who categorized two types of Nihugi Avelos. The first type of Nihugi Avelos, which he thinks are Midaraisa, according to the Gaonim, are to minimize Idunim. And the second category of Nihugi Avelos, which are Derabanan, are Lanos Ulitzair Nafsho, Minoheg Shel Kol Ha'olam. So the Yesod is like this. Since an aspect, and even though probably Rechitza falls into the first category because it's Idunim, but since at least Midrabanan in Avelos, Chachamim were interested in the Avel being Mitzayer Nafsho, so just because a person is uncomfortable, we're not going to say that's a Kula. At least we're not going to be quick to say it. Why? Because, okay, you're right, it's uncomfortable not to take a shower for a couple of days. But that's the purpose of Avelos. Part of the idea of Avelos is to be uncomfortable. So if it's Mamish B'makom Tzar, like Rabbi Gamliel, Tzar Harbei, so yeah, then we say B'makom Tzar Lo Gazru, and this is Mutter, and the like, certainly if you're dirty, and the like. But just to say that, well, it should be Mutter because it's not Rechitza Shel Tainug, so then we're not so quick to be Mako. And the reason is because of because Be'etzem, the Indian of Avelos, is Taka to be Mitzar Nafsho. Now, we pointed out also that it's an interesting thing that we sort of have two opposite themes during Avelos, which are both true. One is Litzar Nafsho, and the second is we try to comfort the Avel. Mitzvah Nichum Avelim, we tell the Avel it's a good idea to drink wine, Lo Nivra Yayin El Mari Nefesh. And the answer is both. They're true. On the one hand, Chayitin Alibo, and the Avel is supposed to think about the nature of life and do tshuva and the light. But on the other hand, we also want to comfort him. But anyway, that is perhaps an answer why we're so machmir when it comes to Rechitza, even though Be'etzem, the only thing that's actually technically Aser is Rechitza Shel Tainug. Okay. Now, yesterday we started talking about the Minhag of the Ramah, three different reasons why it might be, and we noted that we tend to be Makel nowadays for this reason. We talked, I think the last thing we mentioned was the idea of an onain and taking a shower during aninus. So the next topic in this siman is sicha. So the Gemara in Tainus Yud Gimel on the base says sicha zaser, and also in Moed Katan. But again, even for sicha, we see even sicha kolshu when it's latainug. So that's what the Gemara Moed Katan in Tainus says. But if it's lahavir azuama, it's not Sicha Shel Tainug, but it's Sicha Lahavir Azuama. So then it's Mutter, and the Ramban and the Tur, Shulchan Aruch all say that's certainly then it's going to be true for Refua. Somebody needs to put an ointment, because if not for Tzarech Refua, so that's certainly going to be Mutter. If you look at the Mishnah Bura, in Siman Tov Kuf Nun Dalad, he writes that Boris, which is soap, is also Sicha Shel Isser. So the Bir Alach over there says if that's true, so Lahavir Azuama is going to be Mutter. So that's why Lachora, it's going to be Mutter to wash your hands with soap, even though soap is considered Sicha Shel Isser possibly, but when you use it Lahavir Azuama to clean your hands, it's going to be Mutter.
It's a proof that Is the proof that sikha is more solid than the pizza?
No, I don't think so.
Zoom them on your hands and you go out for soap is much greater.
I don't think so. Be'etzem there, Adirava, like we said, the whole source for Rechitza is from a pasuk by Sicha. It's not fundamentally more kal. In both cases, there's a heter, Lahavi Azuama. And what when it's Aser is when the Mishnah Berurah says you can't use soap, right? That's when it's Latainuk.
And all those allowed to wash their hands with cold water during their shiva, right?
Yeah.
So the conditions under which we let them wash their cold hands with soap are as strict as the conditions under which we let them take a cold shower?
Yeah, anytime it's lahavir in both cases. And when it comes to sicha, when it comes to ritzicha, not ritzicha, mechitza, no heter for ritzicha usually. Certainly not lahavir asuamba. So when it comes to sicha, and when it comes to rechitza, so there's basically a heter of lahavir azuama. Washing your hands with cold water, panagat v'raglav, is a different part. That's not a heter. That's just not rechitza.
Indeed.
So it's not. It's not the pshat that we're more makel for sicha or more makel for rechitza. In both cases, it's mutter lahavir azuama.
But that means lemaisa. You got to tell the aveva, like, hey, yeah, you're allowed to wash your hands with soap, but not just stom the way you wash them five times a day.
So I don't know if that's true. You could say that. I saw that the Badr Shulchan may be thought to say that.
No, I
thought the Pashup Shot is not that way. The Pashup Shot is that when people wash their hands with soap, so usually it's because they're getting rid of the dirt. So whether it's bacteria, you know, because they've gone to the bathroom and it might not even be dirt that you see. But that's the same thing. That's lahavir azuama. No, it's not true. Why are we so machmir to wash your hands after you go to the bathroom and not take a shower? Because you use your hands, you touch your food, you do this, that. So it's not healthy to. That's why they have, you know, in every restaurant, they have all those signs, employees must wash their hands with soap, right? It's not healthy to go to the bathroom and not wash your hands with soap. So that too is bechlal the heter of lahavir azuama. What's usher? You know, we don't do this so much, but you know, you go to the stores and they have fancy soaps and scented soaps. Some people taka use you know, do maybe have soaps latinog and things like that. Okay, so Navel shouldn't do that, but the general hand washing with soap that a person does after they go to the bathroom or the like, all that is even if you're going to say that soap is sicha and like the Mishnah Berurah seems to say and would be usher, but it's mutter lahavir azuama, and all that I would think is lahavir azuama. Just one more second. Now there's in terms of this heter, this question comes up by deodorant. So deodorant might be sicha, but like we said, since lahavir azuama is mutter, so it's mutter to use for an avel to use deodorant. Why? I think because, so, deodorant does, it might be scented, right? But, so yeah, pashtus is that we, it doesn't matter. That's still lahavir azuama. It's not latinuk. Nobody enjoys putting on deodorant. It's lahavir azuama. So that's definitely going to be mutter during avelos. There's a machlokas, just I'll mention it derech agav, since we're holding by the 3 weeks, about deodorant during Tisha B'Av. We know that there is no heter of lahavir azuama for Yom Kippur. That's mevuar in Siman Tav Reish Yudalet. The question is, how do we treat Tisha B'Av? Do we say Tisha B'Av is like avelos, in which case lahavir azuama is mutter, or do we say Tisha B'Av is like Yom Kippur, in which case it would be aser? So the Mishnah Berurah argues that it should be like Yom Kippur, and therefore it should be mutter to put on deodorant on Tisha B'Av. No, it should be, sorry, I said it wrong. The Mishnah Berurah says it should be like avelos, and therefore it should be mutter to put on deodorant on Tisha B'Av. And I think that's what, like if you look at the Rabbi Eider's Sefer and what on Hilchos 3 weeks. And what most people do is the Kitzer books also, you're allowed to put deodorant on Tisha B'Av because it's like Avelos, not like Yom Kippur. Now, Rabbi Willig thinks that that's not so obvious, and this is also the view of the Mata Yehuda, who's quoted by the Bir Halacha, and they say, no, we find in other respects that we treat Tisha B'Av like Yom Kippur, even though obviously Tisha B'Av is a day of Avelos, but in terms of the restrictions, for example, Halach L'maisa, we say that you can't wash your hands on Tisha B'Av. You know, on Avelos, we do say you can wash your hands. Pana v'adavrag with smut of its own name. And the Gemara Pesachim says, Ein vein Tisha B'Av liyama kippurim, ala shezes veiko aser, vezes veiko mutter. So, the Bir Halacha tries to say how that Gemara is in Dekashavrim. He tries to be miyashiv that. But it's not so obvious. That's why Rabbi Willig thinks that you shouldn't do, you shouldn't put on deodorant on Tisha B'Av. An Avel can put on deodorant.
Avel should.
Yeah, should, because the Havir Zuma is certainly mutter for Avel. That's a Gemara Tainus Yud Gimel.
Also, why are we assuming that Rabbi says deodorant? Doesn't mean that it's perspirant? Because deodorant, I feel like, is more.
No, they're both. They're both the same. I mean, technically speaking, antiperspirant is to prevent the sweating, and deodorant is to make the smell from the sweating not be, not be noxious. But it's the same. They're both goal is lahavir azuama. It's just they do it in two different ways.
Perfume
lahavir azuama. We'll see. We haven't. You know, we've been talking more in terms of the sicha perspective, but we make the same distinction with respect to that. We'll talk about perfume soon. Yeah. What did you see? The Aruch HaShulchan said what? Even lahavir azuama.
You're saying
us. Let's get to that. Yeah. Look how he said it. That's a question. How does he say it? Okay, the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah discuss here the idea of tevila for anida. So just a little bit of background for the discussion in the Torah. The Torah and the Beis Yosef refer to this quickly, but they don't really elaborate. The Gemara in Yuma and in Tainus and anida all quote a machlokas about tevila b'zman and mitzvah. The Tanakhama says tevila b'zman is mitzvah, and therefore Chayvei Tfilos are Tovlin on Tisha B'Av and in Yom Kippur, and certainly on Avelos. So, according to the Tanakhama, if a woman had Leil Tfilos in the middle of Shiva, she would go to the mikvah. And Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, no, Tfilah B'Zmana is Ein Mitzvah, and therefore you don't go to the mikvah on Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur. So, how do we paskin? So, the Rambam in Hilchos Shvi'is Asur, Tosfos in the name of the Rach, Paskin Tefillah B'Zmana is mitzvah, and therefore a woman should be tovelis even on Yom Kippur. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, Tefillah B'Zmana is not a mitzvah. So the Ramban and the Tur over here write that if you follow Rabbeinu Tam, then you shouldn't be tovelis when she is sitting Shiva. Whereas if you follow the view of the Rambam, then she should be tovelis when she's sitting Shiva. However, this isn't so simple. Tosfos thinks, even if you think tefillah b'zman is not a mitzvah, she might be able to go to the mikvah during Shiva. Right? This gets back to the question of v'chitza shel tainug. Maybe it's only us, it's v'chitza shel tainug. Agav, I saw, did I quote yesterday the Tuv Tam V'Das? The Tuv Tam V'Das says a very interesting thing. He says that should it be mutter for an avel to go to the mikvah during the winter? Let's say Echves, he's machmir to go to the mikvah for before he davens, tefillah sefer or something like that, whatever it is. So should he be able to go? So he says l'chorot should be mutter. It's not l'tzorach. It's not l'tainug and koshken in the winter. Right? Not talking about our mikvahs in the winter, right? When he says you go to the mikvah, you make shaman, that was freezing. There's zero tainug. Mamish tsar kemat. So why should he said l'chor, therefore it should be mutter? Because your motivation is for religious reasons, it's not for tainug. Then he says no. Very interesting idea. Then he says no, it should be usher. Why? Because what's tainug? Nasa ritzono. If that's what you want to do, so that's a very restrictive reading of tainug, right? Then basically everything is tainug, except he has to admit that if it's l'havir atit, that won't be tainug. Or istinus is maybe, istinus, perhaps you'd have to say along the lines against the rush, that istinus is not a pshat that it's mutter because it's eno shel tainug, but rather istinus is mutter because makom tzar lo gazru. It is tainug, but makom tzar lo gazru.
What about, yeah.
But it's a big chiddush.
Also,
I'm sorry?
Removing the teeth is also something.
Yeah, so he says no. You're right. If you take his idea very far, then it's not even clear why that would be mutter. No, he's not. What he's saying is that istinus is, sorry, not istinus, that lechitza lahavir hatit is not taino because it's lahavir hatit. But if you're doing it, no, that's not what he says. He says that for istinus, but he doesn't say that for a tit. Tit isn't, it's, even if it's not tzar, right? The halacha that you're allowed to clean yourself in the Torah and Shulchan Aruch for tit, because you're dirty. It's not tzar, whatever. I have some tomato sauce on my arm, or whatever. It doesn't really cause me tzar, right? It's still mutter for an avel to wash that off, even if the heter of lahavir, to get rid of the dirt, I don't think you need to, right? We only say you need some tzar harbe, and the like, that's for the heter of the istinus. But I think if you're actually just removing dirt removal, I don't think we saw that there's a requirement that it be the makom tzar. You shouldn't do more than necessary. So the Badi Yashulchan says, you know, if you're just dirty over here, so you can't take a whole shower, you just have to wash this area. He says, if like you're dirty here and here and here and here and here, you don't have to like start spot cleaning. Then, no, he said that even though it's rochitz kedarko, that means that, you know, that's the only, the reasonable way to take off all the things.
That's okay, that's the Bukhara Doha reading in the
Shulchan Aruch. No, I don't think so. Why should you take a whole shower if there's only one spot?
If you finish, maybe it touches on maybe soda, but the pizza is.
Yeah, that seems like a bigger chiddush than his chiddush. No, I don't think so. I think the chiddush of Rochitz Kedarko is when that's the normal way to wash for this amount of dirt, so then you're allowed to do it. You don't have to, even he agrees, that if you're dirty in 10 different spots, you have to start spot cleaning yourself, then you could be Rochitz Kedarko. But if you're dirty in one spot, I spill some tomato sauce on my elbow. Ah! Let me jump in a shower. No, just wash off your elbow.
Even the chatzchila, just give yourself an elbow bath on
it would be. The only thing that's mutter is panav, generally speaking, is panav yad virag lepitzonim.
I thought the only thing that's usher is kol kufa, which means.
It's an interesting shayla. Interesting shayla. That comes up cholmo in Yantif. Eva. Yeah. I don't know. I would think the raya not that way, because that's why you need a bimati or panav yadav raglav. In other words, it's not your whole guf. Still, even though it's only yadav, but still there's a hatter.
They just like whatever. Or chad the ara.
No, it's
like,
not.
No one washes their elbows, so they didn't mention that.
I don't know. Okay. I don't think so. There's only a hatter to wash your feet because it's panav yadav raglav. What you're saying is no, anytime you're just washing, you know, one aver, that's mutter. Okay. Yeah, anyway, back to Nida. So the Beis Yosef says, the Tosfos says, quoted by the Beis Yosef, Tosfos and Beitza Yudches and Beis in the name of the Ri, that nowadays it doesn't really matter. Why? This machlokas bat tefillah bisman mitzvah lav mitzvah. Why doesn't it matter? Because anyway, we're not tovlos bisman. Women, nashim aren't tovlos bisman. Why is that? Because nowadays, the women are yoshvo shiv nekiyim, even on tipas dam kechardal. So they're not, the idea of tefillah bisman a mitzvah means that if there's a mitzvah to do tefillah bismana, but once you've missed that, once it's not tefillah bismana, Zmana meaning to say the Zman Deraisa. So that would mean for Nida after 7 days. After Zava, Gedola after Shifinikiyam. But after Nida for 7 days. Now, really, we have this Chumrah B'nos Yisrael and the like, that even though probably a woman's only a Nida, so she only needs to wait 7 days, not Shifinikiyam, but we require her to have Shifinikiyam. So what does that mean? That means that when she's Toveles, it's not Bizmana. She's probably 6 days late. Right? And therefore, since anyway our Nashim are not Tovlos Bizmanan, then even if you hold to the view of the Rambam and the other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Chananel, still there would be no reason for a woman to go to the mikvah in the middle of the Shiva. Why? It's not Tfilah Bizmana. The only reason it's a mitzvah, why? To be matir tashma shamita. But she can't have tashma shamita during Shiva anyway. So therefore, there's no reason at all that a woman bizman hazeh would ever go to the mikvah bizmana. If you look at the Torah, he quotes that there were go'onim that were meka. Why? They would go ahead and they would do two tefillahs. They would do a tefillah in the middle of the Shiva Nikiyim, when it was Tefillah Bizmana Midaraisa, right? And then they would do a second Tefillah a couple days later, 5 days later, let's say, Latir Labaila. So that first Tefillah would be Mutter. It's not Matir Labaila, that would be Mutter of Tefillah Bizmana Mitzvah. Nowadays, nobody does two Tefillos. We don't do that anymore. We just wait till... Well, certainly they would do it for Taros, right? But they might have, there were some Shitos, then this seemed to be the practice among some of the Gaonim, that's what the Torah quotes, that they would even post Taros. In the times of the Gaonim, they didn't have Taros anymore, but because of Tefillah Bizmana Mitzvah's Tefillah. Ah, but anyway, nobody does that, right? In fact, we very much say you shouldn't do that nowadays. It might lead to someone being nechshol. And therefore, the whole discussion between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam and the like is totally irrelevant anymore, because since nowadays we're not Tovlos Bizman, so we only are Tov. She's only Tovelis to allow for Tashma Shamita, and therefore, since Tashma Shamita anyway isn't Mutter during the Shiva Nikiyam, so therefore, just wait and don't do Tvila until after the Shiva Nikiyam are older. And that is the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Psak of the Shulchan Aruch is that Nida Shizman Tvilas Bimei Avla, she's not Toveles. Fine. Yes?
Why don't we say Asedoch Lo Taseh Bepur Urvu if someone hasn't had children yet?
Because that's the Takana. The Takana is that there's an Isser Tash Meshamita. Right. It's also not necessarily true that Pu'uravu is Mechayev Bia now. What is Pu'uravu Mechayev? The Rambam understands the mitzvah Pu'uravu is Mechayev to have Tashma Shamita during one's Ona. So it's true. You might be end up being Mevatel and Ona for the 7 days, but you still have Tashma Shamita. So Tashma Shamita after the Velus is over. It's not like but anyway, the more fundamental answer is that that's good for the Yisr.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would there be any cases if we don't?
Yes, a little louder, sorry.
We wouldn't be able to say to Aunt Lamy that there's an Yisr Pashish, but and if she's able to go to
Mikler,
it's still not there.
No. Why? But anyway, we'll have to see that, talk about when we do Shin Pei Beis, whether there's any way a hetter for Harchakos. But even if one's Mako for Harchakos during Avelos, despite this or Tashma Shamita, which, we'll see. But still, it's not a mitzvah. It's only when the tefillah itself is a mitzvah, not when a tefillah is a machshir, that we would say that you're allowed to violate dinei avelos and go to the mikvah. It's not a full violation, you're saying, because betzim it's not tefillah shel tainug, if you don't, but still, yes, that's correct. That's the pshat. In other words, tefillah is only going to be mutter if the tefillah be'etzem is a mitzvah.
We were saying if it's
from Asher,
sorry?
We're saying that if it's only when the tefillah is the mitzvah, that it's mutter. So, since nowadays we never go to the mitzvah bizman, so the tefillah itself isn't a mitzvah. Yeah.
What's the reason again Rebbe said why even if Tefillah Bizman is Bar Mitzvah, there would be mutter to go to the mitzvah?
There is such an opinion.
Why?
Because not Rechitza Shel Tainuk.
That before Mitzvah said it is.
We don't pass him like that opinion. Correct. That's one opinion in Tosis and Beitz on Yud Chesam and Beis.
Is it contradiction
to Tosis? No, it's different Bali Tosis, I think. There's the Tosis over there, there's the Riyanat Tosis, there's Rabbi Nutam and the Sefer Yashar and the like. Okay. Okay. Now, all that is in terms of going to the mikvah, so like we said, Halacha Maaseh, you can't go to the mikvah. But the Beis Yosef quotes that it's mutter for her to wash in order to allow her to begin Shiv Nikiyam, to do Hafsik Tara. What does that mean? It means that there's a minhag to for a woman before she does Hafsik Tara to be Rochetzes Osel Makom and clean it out. So therefore, there won't be any residual blood or the like that could then create sphakos during Shiva Nikiyam and the Bedikos. So the Beis Yosef said that is mutter, except she should be Mishanik Tzas. What does Mishanik Tzas mean? So the Shach says that means she should only be Rochetzes Osel Makom. In other words, she shouldn't bathe or wash in the whole body, just that place that's needed to allow for a hafsik tara. The Taz is a different understanding, clearly, of what shinoi means. The Taz, because obviously, we'll see from his analysis, can't mean that. The Taz presumably means she should do it in an unusual way. She should use her knuckles or something like that, not do rechitz in a normal way. Now, why is this mutter? There's no tzar gadol. And if you're going to tell me it's mutter because it's not rechitz shel tainug, but we saw that we don't accept that. So maybe the pshat is, no, really, the reason why we're mekel is, like we said, this isn't a rechitza shel tainug. Generally speaking, we're very machmir about that, but mako mitzvah lo gazru. Fine. Alternatively, yeah, in a hanami. But the minhag of being so machmir, the makom hechsher mitzvah, or two. So in other words, here we're going to follow the ikar adin, that since it's not rechitza shel tainug, it's mutter. Alternatively, you could say, if you didn't want to say that answer, if you were a proponent of the view that says that really everything is aser except if it's tzar gadol, so then you'd have to say that this is mutter atz havir luchluch. You don't know that there's luchluch there, but why are you doing this rechitza? Because there might be luchluch there. That's your whole point. If you knew the area was clean, you wouldn't have to wash it at all. Either way, it's mutter, according to the Mechaber. Now, the Ramah seems to be machmir. Ramah says a very interesting thing. He says, well, if you're not allowed to do tvila kol shekein, you're not allowed to do this. What's the kol shekein? The kol shekein is, well, if you're not allowed to do tefillah, which might be a mitzvah, so kavachomer, it should be aser to do this. But, if you read the Ramah simply, it actually even sounds like she shouldn't even start the Shiva Nikiyam. So the Taz says, no, that's impossible. That doesn't make any sense at all. Why in the world would he be docha the Shiva Nikiyam? And whether or not that's what the Ramah meant, certainly Allah Lamaisa were Makil against the Ramah, like the Masbin Yamin, like the Shach and the Taz, and we say that she should be Rochetzes Oso Makom and she should start Shiva Nikiyam. If you look, the Taz himself thinks that the Masbin Yamin is even Makil to do a total Rechitza. The Taz himself says, but you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't go that far. but you should do a rechitza shel osa makom, and that's the halacha. That's the halacha. So we paskin again, maybe against the psak of the Rama, but we paskin that she should be rochetzes osa makom and begin the shibinakiyim as soon as she can. Okay, sivvav. So the Ramban, based off of the Gemara in Tainus and Moed Katan, writes, and this is the psak of the Torah Shulchan Aruch, that a woman should not be isha lo tikchol velo tefarkes b'yamei evla. This is types of makeup that they used to wear. Why? Shekol elu asurim kerechitza. Now, this is a very interesting extension, but what's even more fascinating is that we not only extend rechitza to include makeup, but then we say it's more chamor, because it's clear from the Mechaber, for example, even though the Mechaber never heard of the Ramah's funny chumra about not doing rechitza for 30 days, but the isser of makeup does apply for the entire shloshim, as the Shach points out, Sif Katan Dalet. Which is fair, because the Mechaber says it's Mishem Rechitza. So Mechatesi, that it should apply beyond Shiva. So the Prisha says that you see, even though the basis of this, that is, it's Kerechitza, it's not just Kerechitza. Apparently, you have to say that Kichol and Pirkas is Havi Kegihutz. And therefore, it's Asr Koshlos. What does it have to do with Gihutz? So, apparently, the basis for this halacha seems to be that it's like grooming. In other words, grooming is Asr Kol Shloshim, like Tispores, and Gihutz. Gihutz isn't grooming either. Gihutz is, we'll see what it is, in Machlokas Rishonim, but let's say it's wearing freshly ironed clothing. These are more like luxurious things. They're not just like basic necessities, but pampering. I don't know exactly how to define it. And things that are, you know, we're only mitzaer ourselves during the Shiva and get rid of all forms of idunim. But halachos that are more similar to pampering are extended to the shloshim. Obviously, they just don't have precise gedarim. And therefore, apparently, the putting on makeup is in this realm, in the more expanded realm. And that being the case, even though it's dumya derechitza, but it applies all shloshim, even according to the Mechaber. And therefore, the halacha is that for the first 30 days, women shouldn't put on, so this is the psak of the art scroll, is during the first 30 days, women can't use eyeshadow and face powder. That's the psak of the art scroll. What about other makeups? I don't know. Like most makeups are powders, or eyeshadows, or the like. I don't know why they wrote dafka those. Maybe those are the ones that are most similar to Kichol and Pirkus. I would assume that it does apply to all makeups, but maybe I'm not an expert in makeups. Maybe some makeups are very different. But we'll see that married women can put on makeup after the Shiva. Right? So let's go through those different halachos. So the halacha is that for Kala, they were matir lehiskashet. Now, what's the difference between lehiskashet? When you look in the Torah, it talks about kichol and pirkas, and then it jumps over to lehiskashet. So what's the difference? What does lehiskashet mean? So the Divrei Sofrim writes that lehiskashet is actually referring to something different. It's also a form of grooming. But liskashet, kala means the first 30 days after chuppah. It doesn't mean what we call a kala. We start calling women a kala after they're engaged. This means the real kala, 30 days after chuppah. And the halacha is that liskashet means to take off hair, right, netila seyar. And even though it really should be aser, because of tispores. But we have a special kula for kala. Mashen kein the Ashes ish. She's already married. She's been married for more than 30 days. So we don't want the Ashes ish to be Mizgan al Baila, but at the same time, it's not as as sensitive as a kala. So therefore, for an Eishes Ish, they were matir only kichul and pirkus, but for the kala, they were even matir kishut. Now then the Gemara says in Tainus, and Yud Gimel on the base, that a bogeres is mutter the most kal, right? The most, we're makel for Eishes Ish, we're even more makel for kala, and we're super duper makel for a bogeres. What's the halacha for bogeres? A bogeres, kichol and pirkus is even mutter toch shiva. What's, why are we so makel for bogeres? Because she's hoping to get married. Just imagine that, all these, you know, people are going to come visit their home during the shiva, and if she doesn't put on makeup, ayvei, who's going to want to marry her? So, what? Well, we'll talk about nowadays in just 1 second. And therefore, the halacha is, we're very makel for bogeres. Still, rechitzas chamin kol gufa is aser. Why? The Ramban says, because it's efshar betzonein. But rechitzas kol gufa betzonein also is mutter for bogeres. But the Gemara says, a naira is aser. Why? Even though sometimes a naira might get married, but generally speaking, women don't get married until they're 12 and a half. So therefore, only once they're 12 and a half do we apply the most lenient possible ruling. So what about nowadays? So the Tzitz Eliezer says nowadays, it's not going to be totally in Bogeres, it's not going to be totally in 12 and a half. Hopefully 12 and a half year olds aren't wearing makeup anyway. But it's not going to be totally in 12 and a half. It's going to be totally in marriageable age. So if you have someone who's 15 years old, can she wear makeup? So the Tzitz Eliezer says no. Why? That's true, she's a Bogeres. But nobody in the world ever heard of getting married at the age of 15. So therefore, it's going to be Aser. When is it Mutter Bizman Hazad? It's Eliezer says, whenever a marriageable age is for that society, 18, 20, 30, 40, whatever it is. So whenever you're in marriageable age, that's when it's going to be Mutter to put on makeup. I saw the Badi Shulchan is makeup. He says, no. Davish Abiminyan. And therefore, since Chazal were makel for bogeres, so even if nowadays a 15-year-old girl is not yet ready to start considering marriage, nevertheless, it's mutter. Now, that is one understanding. But maybe this idea that we said kishut is aser, again, we are makel for kala, to be miskashatas, but everybody else, and certainly Bogeres, but let's say Neishas Ish, right? Neishas Ish can't be miskashatas, we said. So what does miskashatas mean? So the first interpretation we said, was it's netila seyar, it's removing hair in certain places for beauty. But Tzitz Eliezer says, one second, kishutim means here as well, at least, what it always means. What does that mean? Jewelry. So the Tzitz Eliezer, if you want to look it up, it's Chelek Yud Aleph Siman Ein Gimel. He says that women cannot wear their jewelry during Shiva. The only thing that's mutter is a wedding band, Tabas Kiddushin Pshuta. Wow. So not even an engagement ring, only a wedding band. That's what he says is mutter. And he quotes the Ruach Chaim that says we have a raya to this from the Torah, because it says behis avlu v'lo shasu ish edyo alav. Wow. Okay? So that is what the Tzitz Eliezer says. It's a pasuk from after the Chet Ha'egel that they mourned, and they so it seems to, you know, the remez, I guess, is that mourners generally should take off their jewelry, their adornments. It's obviously, again, it's a remez, it's not. So Rabbi Willig pointed out that this is not the Minhag HaOlam. And really, Mikra Din, based off of the Mordechai, in Moed Katan, Tav Tav Kuf Chaf Dalet, you could say, like we saw in the Divrei Sofrim, that Kishut does not mean jewelry in this context. Kishut means plucking hairs or the like, but a woman could wear their jewelry, and that this is the more common practice. Shmuel did an internet search, and he saw that the Chabad website, as well as, what was it? The Jewish Book of Mourning?
Yeah, the Jewish Funeral Guide.
Jewish Funeral Guide. One was quoting the other. He didn't know if the Chabad was quoting the Jewish Funeral Guide or the Jewish Funeral Guide was quoting Chabad. But they both paskin like the Tzitz Eliezer. But
how would Tach, the word Tach Shikin, implies, it doesn't imply removing hair, it implies a noun, like an item.
That's what I would have assumed as well. But if you look at the source of this halacha, which is in the Mardechai, it doesn't sound that way. So, I suppose the answer is that when we use it, the verb, liskashet, it might be referring to more than one thing depending on the context. It doesn't refer to jewelry in this context because when you look at all of Moed Katan, it doesn't say anything about wearing jewelry. Right? If there's an isser of wearing jewelry, so then it should be included in the Yud Aleph things that are Aval Aser Bahen, right? Throw that in. So it's not mentioned there. So that's what makes the Mordechai and others understand that this halacha must be some sniff of one of the other dinim, in this case, Tisporas or something like that. And therefore, that's what prompts us to perhaps translate the word in a more unusual unusual way. I assume that's where this idea is coming from. Okay. Simen Shin Pei Beis, Mi'ilas HaSandal. So the Gemara Moed Katan says that it's an usher for a Avel to wear shoes from the fact that Hashem said... Oh, yeah. So yeah, we have to look at the Aruch HaShulchan. I was... I assume that perfumes would not be sicha because you don't, right? They just you spray them. You don't, and I assume it's not rechitza.
Oh well, no, I think there are some perfumes like this.
Right. So if a perfume, if it's an anointing perfume, you put on cream that makes you smell good. So that's for sure aser, unless it's lav yirazuama. Right. I don't know of, again, I'd love to see that Aruch HaShulchan that you quoted because I'm not familiar with it. I don't know off the top of my head why, like, I think regular perfumes that people use would be sicha.
Do you think there's a good thing spray and rubber?
Yeah.
It has to be at least as solid as oil. Like
right. Again, if something is like oil, something is like you smear it, something like that. But something that you just...
liquid, it's being sprayed, one thing. Rub.
I don't know. I think sicha means rubbing in cream, oil, something like that. Here, you don't rub anything in. You just spray.
Why is it rechitza?
Is it rechitza?
By
you're saying for spray deodorant. That too is sicha. Well... they're saying maybe sikh includes even liquids. It's not pasur on Shabbos. There's no memareach issue. But any time you have a liquid go into the skin, even
well,
if it's...
Sikh sounds like a liquid.
Right. So sikh, and it gets absorbed. Anything that gets absorbed is bechlal sikha, you're saying. And therefore...
Well, no. I mean, it could be that this but it doesn't get absorbed. It's
I don't know. Okay, good. Lee Nader, I will look into this. I don't know. We'll have to return to this question because I don't know.
Oil is also liquid. It wouldn't be more ass on Shabbos, would it?
Pashtus, it wouldn't be.
It would?
No, it wouldn't be. It depends on how. I mean, we have memoriach for oil, but that might be more viscous oil, right? Like, okay. Good. So, in terms of this issue, Lee Nader, I don't know. We'll try to get back to it. So Shin Pei Beis. So, and Avos Azar Neil Sasanda. Why? Because Hashem says to Yechezkel, Na'alecha Tasim Beraglecha. Hashem was telling Yechezkel, you should be not be knowing Nihugi Avelus. But the implication is that for everybody else, wearing shoes is a violation of Dinei Avelus. The Ramban writes that we follow Dinei Yom Kippur in this respect, the Man Yom Kippur. And Yuma, Ein Chazen Beis discusses this issue, and we follow those rules as well. So that's why we pass an avel is asmini la sandal shel or, but an palya shel beged or gemi, other types of non-leather shoes are mutter. Why? The Gemara Yevamos tells us on Daf Kuf Beis that from the pasuk says the en alecha tachash. We don't think it's literally a tachash. Then all shoes would be mutter because none of us have tachash shoes. But it means that leather shoes, that is what's halachically considered a shoe. Anything that isn't leather is going to be mutter. That is the mainstream opinion. The halacha is quoted by the Shulchan Aruch both in Hilchos Yom Kippurim and the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Avelos, that any shoe that isn't leather, even if it's a comfortable shoe, even if it's a solid, strong shoe, all that is mutter. However, this is actually a machlokas rishonim. The Baal HaMor says anything that protects the foot is considered a shoe, even if it's not made out of leather. And the Rambam, Shvisas Asur Per Gimel Al-Chazayin, is also machmir. He writes over there, Aser linol minol v'sandol afilu biraglo achas is on Yom Kippur, umotar fine, v'korech adam beget al raglov, v'yotzebo, shaharei, koshi haaretz magia l'raglov, umargishu yachif. Why is it mutter to wrap cloth around your feet on Yom Kippur? Because since you feel the ground, right? If you stepped on, if you wrapped your foot up in cloth, but you stepped on a rock, you would feel it. So that's why it's mutter to do that on Yom Kippur. But the Rambam clearly understands that if you wore sneakers, right, what we call sneakers or Tisha B'Av shoes or the like, that would be aser. Why? You don't feel koshi haaretz when you wear sneakers. That's the view of the Rambam. However, even though there are some achronim who were machmir on Yom Kippur, I think that Ra is machmir, the Mishnah Berurah writes that the Bali Nefesh should be machmir on Yom Kippur, Mikra Din the halacha is, like the opinion of most Rishonim and like the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that all shoes are mutter on Yom Kippur if they're not made out of leather. That's the halacha. Some people are machmir on Yom Kippur, like I said, Rabbi Shechter's machmir on Yom Kippur, I think the Rav, they said, was machmir on Yom Kippur. I don't know, you could argue that even if you're going to be machmir on Yom Kippur, there's a little more room to be makel for Avelus or Tisha B'Av, it's only Midrabanan. Yom Kippur, it's not clear, it might be Midaraisa. So there are those that are machmir, but the Minhag HaOlam is to be makel. The vast majority of people, including Chachamim and Talmidei Chachamim and the like, are makel, I think, to wear sneakers on Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, and Avelus. Yes. I remember a couple of years ago they said Rav Eliashiv was makel for sneakers, but machmir for Crocs. I didn't understand that at all, because if you think that you follow the lenient views in the Rishonim, so it should be mutter. If you think you follow the stringent views, then sneakers should be aser. I don't know. I'm sure there was a... if something that you could feel the ground, something that's so shvach that you could feel the ground in, like house slippers a lot of times, obviously it depends how the house slippers are built, but many types of house slippers you could feel the ground. So that would be mutter, even according to the Machmirim. Yeah?
Would it be possible to suggest, based on the association of the thing by Abel, perhaps the not wearing shoes is not based on discomfort, maybe it's a removal of a certain level of dignity or by Kippur, you're not your regular physical self.
Lamaisa, all the Rishonim don't say like you, right? All the Rishonim quote the din of Yom Kippur, starting from the Ramban, the Rush, the Tur, the Shulchan Aruch, the Gra. They all basically say that we're going to follow the rules of Yom Kippur with respect to this.
Is it possible to suggest on Yom Kippur, though, meaning that the humor is, it's also about discomfort immediately about you just removing your physical.
It's a possibility.
So,
but the mitzvah, you know, again, where do we have this idea of leather? Right? What's the source for leather making the difference? Where does it come from? Lididan. It comes from chalitza, right? Where you need a minnow. It comes from yevamos. That drasha from Tachash, which the Beis Yosef quoted in Hilchos Avelos, where in Shas does that appear? It's in chalitza. Hilchos chalitza.
Which perpetrates the view of like a formal definition of shir.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. That's the pashup shat, the mainstream rishonim. Again, not all, but the halach lemaisa is that the din we paskin is that this din of nilas sandal is only applies to what's a formal shoe, and the din of a formal shoe is it means made out of leather, and therefore once it's not made out of leather, even though it happens to be a high quality protective shoe, so then it's mutter.
Could Rambam even is it possible for the Rambam to be heard again? Meaning it's a big kasher.
No, he doesn't accept that.
What?
He doesn't accept that. He understands that the din for Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av and Avelis is different. And it's not. There's a big sugya.
Sorry.
That's yeah. Within the view of the Rambam or within the mainstream view? The mainstream view. Within the mainstream view, the Pashup Shad, it has nothing to do with comfort. It has to do with the definition of a shoe. Exactly. Okay.
So what does Rosh Hashanah wear?
On Yom Kippur, he wears his socks all day. When he's outside, he wears sneakers.
But you can wear them outside?
Well, that's what we saw.
Uh-huh.
At least by the Gayim.
Yeah,
by the Gayim.
Yeah, but for Rishayim, the people are going to... You didn't say any Goyim. The Shach points out that's only one that's...
Well, let's get there. We're not there yet. We'll get to that then of going outside nowadays. But it happens to be also that nowadays it would be... It would also be tsar to walk around outside for us with just socks. Besides the issue of the guy making fun of us and the like.
What?
Lo tiknu b'makom tsar. So some level of tsar, yeah, that's what we said before.
That I'm sorry, I can't.
People would not hurt themselves. You could get
sidewalks there. You think it's less tsar than it used to be.
It's less, sorry, it's true. Our streets are much better paved than theirs were, but their feet were a lot harder than ours, I think. I think we would think it's dangerous. Nah, I don't know, it's kind of fashion, I don't know, but it's dangerous to walk around without shoes. Gasly. Washington Heights, yes. But it's like Sakonis Akrav, the equivalent. Okay, we don't have scorpions running around the heights, but who knows what you're going to step on if you walked around in the street barefoot. I think, I would think Fort that...
Lee.
Fort Lee, okay. The streets are paved with gold.
Yeah.
Fine. So we'll get there in a second. Another halacha that we extrapolate from the Din of Yom Kippur is that there are certain leniencies, like a pregnant woman or a person with foot problems can wear leather shoes if necessary. And the idea here is, like we said, that just like we're makel for istinus, they compare it to istinus in the Beis Yosef, just like we're makel for istinus with respect to rechitza, so too we're makel for istinus with respect to ne'ilas asandal, and someone for whom not wearing shoes would be golim tsar, or tsar harbe, whatever it is, so therefore it would be permitted for them to wear shoes. Now obviously that halacha of a chaya doesn't apply at all nowadays anymore. Why? Because it's very easy to simply wear sneakers. So therefore there's no reason to apply any leniencies generally speaking today, because there's a simple option of wearing non-leather shoes. Now, then there's this Gemara in Daf Chaf Beis Amid Beis that says, "Al kol hameisim rata choletz, rata ena choletz. Al avivimo choletz." So, what does choletz mean in that Gemara? So, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says it means cholef ksefav. What does that mean? It means that there used to be this practice where after they would do kriya, they would bare their shoulder through the makom hakera, and this was a form of one of the forms of showing that a person is in mourning. Now, assuming that is the pshat in the Gemara, so the Kolbo and the Smak and the Rama all paskin that of Bizman Hazeh, oh, we don't do this anymore. One of the many halachos of Hilchos Avelos that we don't keep, which we'll talk more about. However, you saw in the tour that the Maharam has at least a Yesh Omrim, and this is the view of some other Rishonim, that Gemara is not talking about Chalitza Sakatef, but rather it's talking about Chalitza Saminal. Now, if that's true, then there's an obvious question, which is, what in the world does the Gemara mean? Ratza Choletz, Ratza Eino Choletz for other Avelin, but Aviv Imo, then you have to be Choletz. What are we talking about? Every Avel, there's an Isser of Ne'ilas Asando. What's going on when it says Ratza Choletz, Ratza Eino Choletz? So the answer is that there has to be some extra level of stringency for Aviv Imo with respect to taking off one's shoes that doesn't apply for other Avelim. And we have in a number of areas chumras with respect to Aviv Imo, that the Nihugi Avelos are a little more chamor because of Kibud Avaim in terms of the severity and the duration, and this is one of them. So what would that be? So what seems to be quoted by the Maharam is that A, it applies even kodem kvura, meaning to say they would even go to the Beis HaKvaros already with their shoes off. In terms of dine avelos, that shouldn't be necessary, because avelos doesn't start, at least with respect to chalitza sasandil, until after stima sagolo. And that's what the Gemara means when it says, but that if you want to be machmir and start a little earlier, you could do that. But for Aviv Imo, you must do that. But that's not the regular din of Chalitza Sam Min Al, Chalitza Sasandal in terms of Dihun Gevelos. And the second aspect of Chumra over here is with respect to returning from the Beis HaKvaros. Even though usually we say that when you walk among the Gayim, so one can put on shoes. We'll talk about why in a second. But here, to be Machmir. Now the Rosh says, I don't understand this idea, because how could the Maharam say that you should take off your shoes before the Kvura? Nilsa Sandal doesn't start until after Sima Sagolo. And again, Lachar, the answer is, like we said, that this isn't regular Dine Avelos, the Dine of Helpos Avelos of Nilsa Sandal. It's just like, it's an added level that might not be even Begadr Nihugi Avelos. It might be similar to Kriya or the like, which could apply a kodem kfura. Okay, now, just one second, let me just finish the basics. So the Rama over here writes that Yesh Omrim, this is the Rama in Sif, hey, I think it was, Yesh Omrim, Haga Yesh Omrim, Shetzarach Leilech Yachif, Mibes HaKvaros, Lebayis, in Mace Aviv O Imo. So what does it mean, Mace Aviv Imo? If this is the regular din of Chalitza Saminal, so that applies to all Avelim, right? So the answer is, L'chora, that this Yesh Omrim that's cited in the Ramah is this Maram. And what's the idea? That in terms of Nihugei Avelos, the regular din of Nihugei Avelos, that wouldn't apply coming home from the Beis HaKvaros. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch already said in Sif Dalid that im ir shiruba gayim en choltzen, and the Ramah didn't disagree with that. This Yesh Omrim is not disagreeing with the din in Sif Dalid. This Yesh Omrim is the Maram. Maram said that al aviv imo there's an extra level of mitzvah of chalitza, and the kula of Holchen Bein Agayim doesn't apply to this din. So that's the way I read the Ramah. Now, what's interesting is that the Shach said, why is this true? Then the Ramah says at the very end, the lower Isi Noagim came. So when I read the Ramah, I thought that meant because we don't accept the Maran. In other words, the Maran's explanation of the Gemara of what chalitza means, ratza cholitz, ratza eno cholitz, avivimo, you have to do chalitza. We accept the view of Rashi and Rush and most Rishonim. It's talking about chalitza zakate. And that's why lo reisi ne'ogim came. However, if you look at the Shach, he writes, lo reisi ne'ogim came. Why? Because we're by the Gayim. So this could mean one of two things. Either the Shach is reading the Ramah differently than me, but it's a little strange to read the Ramah that way, because I think it's obvious that the Ramah means what I said, because that's why I said it's only true for Avivima, right? So maybe what the Shach is saying is no. Mishum Rishas Hagayim, even if you were to follow the din of the Maharam, still you wouldn't have to walk home from the Levaya, and that the Heter Ki'ilo applies here as well.
That's what the Kolbo, they just quote the Kolbo already saying explicitly.
Yeah, but it's not clear what he means. Because, especially, if you look at the Gra in Sifkatan Gimel, he writes, the lower Isi, Kenizkar Liel Sifdalid, Ayin Shach, Sifkatan Gimel. So is he saying this is the regular din? Or is he saying, no, this, that the Chiddush is that this din applies even here? But okay.
Wait, what?
You're saying it's Pashut. Fine.
The
Koldo, I wasn't sure.
They still say quote the Koldo in the context of the special minhag by Avi Bimo, that if you have to do it even though Mikra din
right.
Outside, you don't have anything else.
Right. So, in other words, it's interesting. All I'm saying is that the Gra just says, Kinizko al Sivdalad. Now, this isn't the same as Sifdalad. What you're saying is, no, that's cool for the Chiddush of this, when we say of Lo Ra'isi Ne'ogim Kein, right? Fine.
Wait, Shindalad is in a different.
Sifdalad.
In Shinayin Vav. Not this Zeman.
No.
Okay.
Kenizkar Li'el Sifdalad. In the Gra. He means Sifdalad, the previous Sif.
Oh,
yeah, when you're by the Gaya Street. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
so
the Gra is Mitzayin like Shach.
Yeah, so not like the Gra.
Okay. So that's my question.
Okay,
it could be, you're right. It's dumb. It's interesting that that they didn't just say, right, okay, yeah.
So,
now,
is it really, is
now,
it something in the shoes, here is non-leather shoes to the Gura?
Oh, you know, he doesn't do that. He thinks that the only Nadi has to put on the non-leather shoes as soon as, well before the Kfura, a day before the Kfura. Because he thinks that since the only reason why a Onin is mutter to wear leather shoes is to facilitate the Kfura, that's not necessary, so then you start right away. Okay. Now, Stamazeh, this brings up an interesting, whether it's Sifdalad alone or Sifdalad and Sifhei, an interesting point, which is why are we so worried about what the Gayim make fun of us? I think the Chai Adam asked this question. The Chai Adam asks, like, you know, a person has to follow the halacha, and even if the Gayim are going to make fun of you, you still have to keep the halacha. We're very, exactly, Avikal Kinesher, and what?
In that infinite.
So that being the case, so why all of a sudden are we makel to say, well, you could wear shoes in the street if it's Ruvam Gayim? So that's the kasha. So I heard Rabbi Sobolovsky, we were listening to Rabbi Sobolovsky's shiurim here and there in the car ride. So he said a very, very nice answer. He argued that that's because when it comes to Nihugei Avelos, so we look at the reason for these halachos, And the purpose of Nihuga Avelos is all to obviously create a certain feeling and ambiance and emotion. So if it's going to start becoming a joke, it's going to look silly, people are going to laugh at you, so that takes away from the spirit of Avelos. And that's why we'll find in many aspects of Hilchos Avelos, we don't follow the dinim of the Gemara. For example, we mentioned it just now in terms of Katef. Okay, Katef, maybe that's easier to explain because you could say that the parents are Mochel. But let's say Tifas HaRosh or switching over the beds, whatever that means exactly. And, you know, why are we Mekel? So we find some Rishonim that answer, well, because it's not so Shaykh nowadays. But let's say Atifa Sarosh is a better example. So, okay, you know, you could put on, I'm not exactly sure what it means, but we could try. Right? Why don't everybody who's an Avdal should get a turban and, you know, put it down over their face until it gets to their forehead, and not their forehead, their mustache, and cover that up? Well, we could try to do it. But what's going to happen? Like, you know, people are going to come to a Shiva call, they're going to see the guy, and they're going to start laughing, because, you know, nobody wears a keffiyeh. It looks like Purim. All of a sudden, the Avdol starts putting on a keffiyeh. So therefore, since it takes away from the... It would really produce the exact opposite goal of what the Avelos is trying to achieve. So therefore, we do away with these dinim. In other words, we see the Nihuga Avelos, we're a little more flexible in terms of our applying them, and we say that if they're going to produce the exact opposite goal, so then they would. And Rostovsky therefore went so far as to say an interesting chiddush, that maybe you would be mechalek between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Tisha B'Av, we also have this halacha, that you can, if you're going to go into the guy's streets, you can wear leather shoes. That, obviously, that's not shayach nowadays, but where it was, it would, you know, in a situation where it would lead to being made fun of. So he thought that's because it's altavelos. So he said maybe on Yom Kippur, you see that halacha isn't brought down. So he admitted it's not the strongest riot, because maybe they don't bring that halacha down by Hilchos Yom Kippur, because nobody would anyway walk by the guy's streets. Yom Kippur, the whole day, people would go to shul, they would stay in the ghetto. Tisha B'Av, at this, maybe in the afternoon, people will start doing this and that, so they would have to go into the guy's streets. But he said maybe on a more fundamental level, that's because the din, that this kula is dafka kula within the world of Hilchos Avelos, because it produces, like we said, the exact opposite effect of Avelos. Okay, so we will stop here. Any question?
If we stop, then I'll ask you after.
Okay.
I want to hold that in.
And maybe everybody will benefit from your question.
When I first read these halachos, I did think that the two halachos are relevant. The halacha that Mahalish Badera doesn't wear shoes, right? And Nichol of Mahalish Badera is Mahalish Be'irshalayim. And then the second halacha of when you're talking about the minhag of wearing before the wearing
the chalitza. Yeah.
Sorry?
The din of chalitza.
The
din of the Maran.
Yeah, in that din, it's because the goyim will make fun of you. But the regular din.
But why would you say? I hear what you're saying, but why would you say in Sivdalid, which is the regular din, why would you say it's Talui and Rove? It's not like if walking in the street is considered Baderach, so it's Baderach whether you're in a city that's Rove Jews or Rove Goyim.
Why is Mahalas Baderach not good for Rabbi Yisur? Why is Mahalas Baderach not unique? Why are you allowed to wear shoes when you're not?
So it's said, so there's two reasons. Right. Number one is if it's painful, and number two is because they'll make fun of you.
Who says that's wrong?
Those are the reasons that are brought down. I don't know. You assume that it's only a din in Mahalas Baderach, which is not Bechlal.
You can make something up that I
hear what you're saying. The only problem that I have with what you're saying
is the difficulty
I have with what you're saying is, why would you be mechalek between a city that's mostly Jewish and a city that isn't. In other words, if you're going to say you're Badarach until you get to your, you know, to the city, and then you're not Badarach anymore, and then you have to put it on, fine. So say that. But why would you say that it depends on the population of the street?
Because I don't think you're looking to show yourself as an avil. You don't care, like, your expression of who you are and your place in society doesn't matter in terms of the goyim.
Yeah. Okay. I hear what you're saying. I actually had such a thought as well. I didn't think that the sources backed it up, but it's something to look at. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. I have to think about it. I have to look for it. I had such a thought also, that be'etzem it's a din that when you're in public, when you're not in... Yeah, that's
no,
a fundamental din of death. Just one second. Let's see. What did you have to look at the gross is very little here. You have to look more at Hilchot Yom Kippur and see about that. And Tisha B'av, the other places. But yeah, maybe it had such a side also. I don't know.
Just a couple questions. One, Rabbi said, very good agave, he said, very clearly vocal, if you go ahead and wear,
when we get to Katef, we'll see.